Hare Krishna. Today we have come to this garden, which we are officially naming Vrindavan Garden. We have a kadamba tree, tamal tree,
another kadamba tree, champak tree, peepal tree, udumbara tree, and neem tree. All auspicious personalities. This garden is a place where devotees come to discuss Harikatha, take prasad, chant japa, have meetings, kirtans. It's a very special and sacred part of Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. It is our great fortune that we have known His Divine Grace, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, one of the first devotees to come forward and surrender his life and soul to assisting Srila Prabhupada in his mission of taking Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message to various parts of the world. From the very beginning of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj's relationship with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada saw in him a person who was 100% willing to give his life to serve Guru. And thus he entrusted him with very vital services. He was Harinam Sankirtan leader in San Francisco in 1967 or 68. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased by the way he organized Harinam Sankirtan that he made him the standard for the whole society and asked him to go to various places to train people in this way. He made him president in Los Angeles, seeing his competency and his allegiance to doing everything exactly according to Prabhupada's wish. He was first person to really largely distribute back to Godhead magazines. When London was established by six Grihasthas, Srila Prabhupada immediately called for Tamal Krishna Goswami to come to actually really establish preaching there. And Srila Prabhupada came to India. He called for Tamal Krishna Goswami to personally, right by his side, help him establish Krishna consciousness throughout India. Made him GBC for the whole country. With Prabhupada's blessings, he went back to America at a certain point and established the biggest book distribution party in history of ISKCON, Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party. Of course, we know the wonderful story how the impossible feats that Prabhupada would give him that literally no one else could do. It was he that was able to get the land in Mayapur and offer to Srila Prabhupada. And it was he that really began the construction of Sridham Mayapur on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave him the inconceivable task of establishing Krishna consciousness in China, perhaps the most difficult and dangerous place in the entire planet. Actually, No devotee ever dared to go behind the bamboo curtain. Bamboo is more resilient than iron curtains, as we can see. Prabhupada told him, establish Krishna consciousness in China. What an incredible order that was. And he did it. And today, China is one of the most flourishing, prosperous nations in the entire world where Krishna consciousness is growing. On the basis of his inconceivable surrender to the order of Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada kept him as his personal secretary longer than any other devotee. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, we can speak about him for many hours, days, years, about the glorious activities he has performed in Prabhupada's service. In essence, he was a Vaishnav whose name is inseparable from Srila Prabhupada, historically and in spirit. The intimacy of the personal relationship he had with Srila Prabhupada is one of the great, great wonders of our Gaudiya Vaishnav history within ISKCON. When Srila Prabhupada was in his last days, every single morning, Bhakti Charu Maharaj told us, every single morning Prabhupada would ask, where is Tamal? Bring Tamal. Out of about 5,000 disciples, tens, hundreds and thousands of followers, every morning he was calling for Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj to discuss intimate concerns in his mind about the future of ISKCON and so forth during his last days. On the disappearance day of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, in the place where Haridas Thakur did his bhajan and converted Maya, Fuliagram, Srila Prabhupada took Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj away from our physical presence. And the whole movement throughout the world was very shocked. Hearts bleeding in separation from this dear, dear Vaishnav. How exemplary he was in caring for and training with great love his disciples. How accommodating he was to giving his association and guidance to the disciples of his godbrothers. How kind he was to the general people, the conditioned souls. His dynamic preaching, his creative preaching, his incredible vision changed many, many, many people's hearts. Even when he went to college, he was the top student of the entire university practically every year. Without even, after getting a bachelor's degree, while working on his bachelor's degree, he was invited to scholarly conventions to present papers that is usually exclusive for people who are professors with PhDs. He was undergraduate. And the amazing thing is he was always thinking about preaching. He was always thinking about serving Prabhupada. Practically every paper he wrote in his college to get his degrees was something that could be used for preaching Krishna consciousness. Even books have been made out of his essays and papers. and of course his PhD thesis at Cambridge University was on Srila Prabhupada. A scholarly presentation of Srila Prabhupada's glory and his creative, ingenious empowerment to preach Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj also had such very intimate and dear relationships with his god brothers. He was so very, very accommodating. He was strong like thunderbolt, but soft like rose. When he wanted to establish what was right, there was no thunderbolt that was that gave such an electrical shock as Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. But simultaneously, his heart was very soft, very loving, very kind. And personally, he always showed his rose side to me. Very soft, very loving, very kind. Whenever he had to make a major decision, he would call his dear friends and god brothers and ask their advice and consult them. He was a true Vaishnava. Although one of the very, very senior most people of our movement, he always was eager to have the blessings of devotees. How loyal and faithful he was to Prabhupada's mission, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Through whatever ups or down ISKCON may have been, he was always there, willing to give his life, because he knew Prabhupada's will. Srila Prabhupada has certainly dispatched his divine grace, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, on a very, very special exalted mission, perhaps in Goloka, or perhaps wherever Prabhupada is preaching, but we know that they are together. So today, in honor of this great Vaishnav, intimate disciple of Prabhupada, and great general within the forces of ISKCON, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, we are going to plant this tamal tree as a memorial to him, so that we can always remember and be inspired by his example and his presence. One time, was it you that told me about when they were not taking care of the tamal trees at Govardhan? Can you tell that story?
It's pretty loud. Srila Gurudev was very much used to love worshipping tamal tree, and he used to love tamal tree very much, and he used to instruct his disciples in Govardhan palace that to take care of all the tamal trees in the garden. So one day Gaur Narayan Prabhu, one of our senior god brothers, he's the president of Govardhan palace. So he was trying to clean the that garden, and some local people came and they were cutting all the grasses and other small weeds and everything. So by mistake they had cut one tamal tree, and when Srila Gurudev came to know about this, he called Gaur Narayan Prabhu, and he was very heavy with him. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, he was when he used to get very angry, he was like really like thunderbolt. And he said, "Your spiritual master's name is Tamal Krishna, and you don't take care of these tamal trees. They are so dear to me. If ever I hear this has happened, again, then I am not going to come back to this place. So from that day onwards, Govindarayan Prabhu was very extra careful in taking care of all the tamal trees, and he used to worship each and every one of them, do parikrama of the tamal trees, and now he is also, you know, taking care of them very nicely. So,
Hare Krishna. The first time I met Tamakrishna Maharaj was when I was maybe 14 years old. At that time, the devotees had just made a record. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which was produced by another great servant of Srila Prabhupada's, George Harrison. This record had been released all over Europe and had become on place number 3 in the German hit parade. And because I listened at that time a lot to the German hit parade, I listened a lot to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The next event was that the devotees were coming from England to perform concerts in the Hamburg Star Club, a place I used to go, and Tamakrishna Maharaj was also there. One day I was going with my mother to shop in a department store called Karstadt, and I saw the devotees dancing before Karstadt, back and forth. And I was so attracted that I just stared at the devotees. One of them was Tamakrishna Maharaj. And my mother noticed my attraction, and she took me up to do some purchase, but I immediately ran away from her and the purchase to look at Tamakrishna Maharaj dancing in the cold weather in Hamburg, as snow flakes were coming down. He was enthusiastically dancing and then spotted me. And when you are spotted by Tamakrishna Maharaj, you can know that something will happen in your life. He came, and I remember in broken German, he knew broken German, he began to answer my infantile questions. And when I left, he personally wrote down the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for me on a little piece of paper and said, "You must always sing this. It's very important for you. Please do this." And I started to chant Hare Krishna on the order of Tamakrishna Maharaj at that time. Not regularly, maybe a few mantras a day, but some chanting. Tamakrishna Maharaj has started, it was a very, very dedicated preacher, and he moved many devotees into spiritual life. He kept many devotees in spiritual life by advising them and instructing them. And with his sudden departure, unexpected departure, he has in some ways made us more conscious about our duties in this during this temporary stay in this temporary body. It's very nice that we have this tree who will remind us now on this devotee, Tamakrishna Maharaj. So when we look at the tree, we can also look at the life of this great devotee. And we can become inspired to also become a little bit more determined to go our individual path in Krishna consciousness in the service of Guru and Krishna with full determination and full surrender. The memorial tree is a speaking tree. He will speak to us in the Vrindavan Gardens about following the orders of spiritual master and Krishna, and developing our attraction to Radha and Krishna, which is an important side of Dhammakrishna Maharaj, which takes also days to discuss. He was a Vrindavan man, very much thinking about his development in Krishna consciousness. I'm very happy to be here at this memorial day for the memorial planting of the speaking tree of Dhammakrishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. So Srila Dhammakrishna Maharaj is also one of the first persons who inspired me in Krishna consciousness very much. I met him in Calcutta in 1971, where I was joining the temple, and he gave me the first japa mala.
Oh yeah.
And he was with Madhuri at that time, and he gave me she gave me a bead bag. I think it was on Dhammakrishna Maharaj's bead bag. It was a bright yellow color. It was a bright yellow color bead bag, and my first japa mala. And they said you should chant this Hare Krishna mantra. And from that time on, they were always looking after me. He was always affectionate to me. And actually, one time I left Calcutta, I was going to Benares, because Pankajangri was there at the time, and he didn't know where I was, because he didn't know anything about me. I'd become a devotee. I just left him a month before, and I was going to see him. I promised to meet him somewhere, but last time he saw me, I wasn't Jananivas Das, I was someone else. But anyway, I promised to meet him, so I left. We were taking prasad in the temple in Calcutta, and then I left. I was going to get on the bus and go to the station and go to Benares. And so I finished prasad quick, and then I just stood up and I said, Dhanavad, you know. And I left, and he was taking prasad, and he looked up. He didn't know where I was going. I told Jayapadaka Maharaj I was going, but I never told him I was going. And so then I went to the bus stop, and all of a sudden Dhammakrishna Maharaj came running up to the bus stop. And he said, where are you going? Where are you going? I said, well, I promised I'd meet my brother, and he's wondering what's happened to me. About a month, I promised him about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, he wondering where I am. I promised I'd see him. And he said, listen, has someone said something to you that you're leaving? I said, no. He said, are you sure? He said, it wasn't the president. The president didn't say something to make you angry. You sure? I said, no. Nobody said anything. He said, why are you leaving then? I said, well, no, I promised to see my brother. I've got to see him. He doesn't know where I am. He said, well, you get him to come here. You write a letter to him, tell him to come here. I said, I don't have his address. I don't know where he's staying. And he said, it's so dangerous you leave. He was really, really concerned for me, really concerned. I mean, he had reason to be also. I mean, you're alone in India, wandering around, no fixed residence or anything like that. I mean, I could have easily gone astray, but he was so concerned. He kept saying, please, please. I said, Maharaj, I think I found what I want. I'm looking for in Krishna consciousness with all the devotees here. I promise I'll be back. I promise that. He said, okay, you must come back, okay? You come back and see us. So he was always acting like my elder brother. And if he actually felt like my elder brother, more than actually anyone else in this movement, I had that relationship with him. He felt just like my brother, and he was always, he never showed his thunderbolt side, as Radhanath Maharaj said to me. I was with him just the day before his departure, and he was saying many things and glorifying many devotees. He always loved to glorify the devotees. And we took prasad with him. And then he called me over to the side, because there were a few devotees taking prasad. And he said, do you need anything, Jananivas Prabhu? I said, no. He said, you sure? I said, I don't think I need anything. you need money? He said, you ever go traveling? I said, no. He said, if ever you need any money, let me know. Anything you want, you just let me know, okay? He said, don't hesitate to please let me know. Any way I can do, anything I can do for you. So like this, he was always also my ever-well-wisher. And so we're very happy to have this memorial. Tamil Krishna is speaking here to us. We will always be reminded of his wonderful magnanimity. And by having his presence here in this tree, there's also another story which I'm not going to tell, but someone else should tell it, confirming what you have been saying about Tamil Krishna Maharaj's presence here.
There you go. Actually, Maharaj, Srila Radhanath Maharaj, Sachinandan Maharaj, all of the Purunachandra Prabhu, Jananivas Prabhu, and all the devotees over here in Gopinath Temple, we were planning to come to the shelter of Maharaj, to this temple, for a long time, because it was Srila Gurudev's instruction that we get trained in this temple under the guidance of Maharaj and all of his disciples. And when Srila Gurudev left physically this planet, then this we are all thinking how to fulfill this desire of his, and when to go over there. And also in Mayapur, Maharaj also told us about coming over here. And the important thing which took place was that our ticket was made, and we were all ready to come. And one night, His Grace Agavit Prabhu, who is our senior most godbrother in Calcutta, and he's taking care of all of us, he's a youth forum in charge, he called me up in the morning, few days before coming here, and said, Vijay Govinda Prabhu, I saw a dream. I had a dream in the night. I asked him, what is the dream? He said, he is in Mayapur serving Srila Gurudev's Samadhi. And while serving him in his Samadhi, he saw suddenly Gurudev got up from Samadhi and he is ready with his danda to go somewhere. Agavit Prabhu was all afraid and he asked him, where are you going? Gurudev said, my disciples are going to Bombay. I would like to go with them. And Agavit Prabhu was afraid that what are you saying? Your Samadhi is here and you know there is no one, no arrangements, nothing. And what is it? He said that you don't have to worry. I will make my own arrangements. And when one night His Holiness Srila Radhanath Maharaj told me about this ceremony, I immediately recollected, and the next day I told Agavit Prabhu over the telephone that this is what is going, and they are also enjoying there very much. For this is a confirmation that he has really come over here.
You have made it right.
When I was staying in Dallas, Texas, as a brahmachari, at one point, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me to go to New Vrindavan and serve and get the association and guidance of Sovinas Radhanath Swami. So I went there and was his assistant. As soon as I arrived, I saw he was near the temple. There was some construction going on. And I introduced myself. and I said that Tamal Krishna Maharaj has sent me here to assist you and to get your association. And he immediately embraced me. So it was in my eyes they have some close connection like this. And the tamal tree is very significant because we know that Tamal Krishna Maharaj's god brothers, they would affectionately call him Tamal. And so we all knew him like this, as Tamal. And in Vrindavan, when they first got the temple there, then there was a tamal tree, as there is now, in the courtyard, but that one, that original one, I believe was very old, and they were going to cut it down. And so, and it needed to be, I believe it was dead, if I'm not mistaken. And so they were going to cut it and then plant a new one. And so when Tamal Krishna Maharaj heard about that, he was very excited, and he said that he'll get the wood. He wanted to get the wood from the tree and make beads for himself, so that he would have tamal wood beads for his japa and mala. So the tree is always played some role in his life in one way or another. Also, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Radhanath Swami has summarized most of the significant events as far as devotional service in the life of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. But he also, Tamal Krishna Maharaj also was very instrumental in acquiring and keeping this Juhu land. He was there also with Giriraj Swami and the other the senior devotees in the early days. And going to the lawyers every day. He was memorizing the civic codes instead of the Bhagavad Gita and so forth. And he came to once, it was getting so much that he was spending the whole day in the courts and with the lawyers and the offices and the civic offices and speaking to one officer and another. And he came to Srila Prabhupada at that time, and he was just like very frustrated and feeling confused and needing some shelter. And he said that it's too much for me, I can't bear it. I'm memorizing all the civic codes and I don't know any Bhagavad Gita, and it's too much. And so Prabhupada pressed him. He said, but this management is spiritual. You must do this. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always like like on the edge, you know, like in the fire of devotional service, getting purified, intensely purified. And he expected that of all of his associates, all of his god brothers and his disciples. He would push them to the brink of their capacity. And of course it was always for their benefit and for his benefit. I remember I was preaching with him in Hong Kong, and he wanted to distribute books. Actually, I was there before the books came, and then the books arrived, and he made me the Sankirtan leader in Hong Kong to distribute books. So we were the first ones to distribute books there. And he was pushing us very strongly to go out. If we were in the temple past 9:30 in the morning, he would come and he would come with his thunderbolt and make sure we would get out. In China, he also, I was there when he first entered Red China as a businessman with hair and a suit and tie. And he went in with one Indian businessman in the guise of a businessman, and under the pretext of doing business in China, they went there and made some contacts. It was the first time, and I was there helping him pack his bags, and I saw his whole body was shaking. His whole body was shaking, and I was like, he was actually afraid that he would be late for the train. And he had one devotee run down, get a taxi on the street. We were on the sixth floor in a big apartment block. And he ran outside, and I was helping him to pack the bags. And time was running out, and his whole body was shaking. And I noticed that, and I looked at his hands, and he saw that I noticed that. And he looked at me, and I looked at him. And it was like, I realized that he wasn't just nervous, but he was thinking so intensely of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's order to him to begin the preaching in China, that the intensity of his devotion was making his body shake. It wasn't material, it was spiritual. And I realized that at that moment. It was deep and interesting experience. So then he got on the train, he made it, and went into China for the first time. And they had some meeting with some businessmen. They went into a restaurant and they ordered food, and Jamal Krishna Maharaj and Mr. Arjun, one businessman, he said that we're vegetarian, so we can't eat anything. We'll just take some water. And they said, no, we'll give you vegetarian food. We'll give order vegetarian. They said, yes, we're vegetarian. We cannot eat any meat. No, we'll order just no meat. So they ordered something, and they brought some cake. And the businessmen were very eager to share their Chinese cuisine with their foreign friends. And they said, please you take this. They said, but what is in it? They said, don't worry, no meat. They said, but maybe there's fish. They said, no fish. And there's no eggs? No eggs. No, it's no meat, no fish and eggs. They said, but then Tamal Krishnamurti asked them, but what is it made from? They said, it's all vegetarian. All vegetarian food. No meat, no fish or eggs. Just pure grasshopper. No meat, just grasshopper. The insect. Made from insects. So then they real. This was his first trip into China. But when he came back, he told us all about this. But Prabhupada told him, he said, you don't have to go. You just send the books in, and the books will begin the preaching. And later you can go. Because he asked him, how can I preach in China? And he said, this is the technique. You send in the books first, and then later the books will act. And it's true, because people send back hundreds of cards, because the books he sent into libraries and different places, institutions. He had some card in the book, and they sent the card back to the Ho Man Tin Gai, the flat in Hong Kong. And hundreds of people were writing back that, oh, thank you for sending these books. We love Krishna so much. We're waiting for these books. And we love to read these books. How can we get more books? And we're flooded with all of these cards. And that was the beginning of his China mission. So I was fortunate enough to participate in his service to Prabhupada in that way. And I'm fortunate to be here now celebrate his memorial tree. Hare Krishna. Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj ki.
Would you like to say something?
Yes.
Though I am very fallen soul, most fallen soul, but I don't know why Gurudev choose me to, he accepted me as his son, and he wanted to do some service for him and for the society. It's all the causeless mercy of Acharyas here that make possible. Otherwise it would not be possible for me to be stand nowhere here. I can have some, like when I was in his last days, we were serving him in Mayapur. So he called one day, like every he called so many of his godbrothers to have lunch prasadam. He was sitting with his godbrothers. So we were so many of them to serve. We just entered, like 4 or 5 of us, and we started serving him. So he was a little heavy, he was upset to see all these things. And he said he called Agavit Prabhu and he said that I don't want military men here, soldiers to fighting. Only one person is sufficient for the serving. And that night he called all of us and said that you people are loose paste, flour loose paste. You are not at all trained up. You are not a loose flour paste.
You are not having the taste.
You people are not at all trained up. You should go to Chowpatty, spend 3-4 months there. Have association of devotees there and get trained up yourself. He said that if I would have been here for more time, because you will not like my chastisement here, because I have came for a vacation mood. So if I would have been here and if I will chastise you, then you people will remember by my chastisement. He chastised me 2-3 times this time. So I can share with all of you, like once what happened, like he used to go for a Ganga bath daily. To have Ganga bath in the afternoon time. So one day he was going for a Ganga bath and we were following him. Then he went to the Ganga bath, he used to open his clothes and all that and used to give to some of those who come forward. So one day I was there and then he said, oh, you want to hold my clothes? I said, yes, Sulu Gurudev. Then he opened his cap and all that, every clothes, and he said that don't move it. Just stay like this, hand like this. I will come and take it. Don't mix it up. And then at last he has a chain in his neck in which Prabhupada's kavach, in which its teeth of Prabhupada was there. He asked me, do you know what is this? Then I said that, no, Srila Gurudev. Well, this is a teeth of Prabhupada. He asked me to throw it away. But I had in the kavach. I had made tooth here. So then he gave me the clothes. Actually, I'm very fallen, but he make me object of his causeless mercy. So I had some garlands, So I have bring with me, so that I will means through the Ganga. So I thought that okay, one of my godbrothers get, he already took bath and he came out. Then I thought that maybe I can take bath. So Maharaj was already there inside and like in the Ganga bath he was taking bath. Then I said that my godbrother, that will you please hold this close so I can get inside and take bath and hurry up and I will come back soon. But don't mix it up because Srila Gurudev has said that don't mix it up. So he said that okay. So as soon as I was giving to him, he was watching from the Ganga that this person, as soon as I get inside that, then Gurudev caught me. He said that if you don't want to hold my clothes, why you have taken from me? I'm very sorry. Otherwise, you know, you should not take, never. And then he laughed and in a very smiling way, he praised me that I should not do Niyamagra. A devotee, like seeing a devotee and spiritual master is taking 100 times Ganga bath. And that was a Ganga bath for me. But I never realized that then, but after that I realized that it was a, like, serving a spiritual master is like 100 times taking Ganga bath. Small relations I'm having.
The first day I met Srila Prabhupada, I received an instruction from Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. That was here in Bombay in March of 1971. And in Vrindavan in December of 71, he also gave me some very nice instructions when I met Srila Prabhupada the second time. And throughout the years, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj showered such sweet and merciful benedictions upon me. Just about 30 hours before he departed from this world, we met together in his room. Do you remember that? Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj gave a talk on the stage at a Pandal program, telling the story of how he bought the land in Mayapur for Srila Prabhupada and how he began the construction of the first buildings for Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur Dham. Then he excused himself from the stage, and as he was walking I met him and we started a conversation, and we ended up walking through fields for a couple hours, just the two of us talking. His disciples were following behind. And due to the presence of many mosquitoes, he decided we should go up to his room, where we continued for till about 11 at night. We were together about 3 hours, just the two of us talking. And being the perfect gentleman, always demonstrating perfect etiquette, he walked me to the door where some of these wonderful devotees were present. And he saw my shoes that I was wearing. They were like padukas, but made out of rubber instead of wood. And he really enjoyed seeing those shoes. He smiled, and he said, "Those are perfect sadhu shoes." Yes, he said, "Did you have them specially made?" And I said, no, they actually sell them. We can." And I said, "Do you like them?" He said, "I like them very much." I said, "Would you like for me to get you a pair?" And he said, "Yes, I really want a pair." I said, "What size do you wear?" He said, "Size 10. I said, "Somehow I will get them to you as soon as possible." He said, no. He said, "I'm coming back to India in Kartik, and I want to spend some nice time at Radha Gopinath Temple in Bombay. and you can give me the shoes at that time. And I promised him I would give him the shoes when he came to Radha Gopinath temple. The day after his samadhi ceremony, one of the disciples, was it you? Jai Govinda Prabhu, or Vijay Govinda Prabhu, who was present during that very sweet exchange, told me that he was going to come to Bombay and on behalf of his Gurudev accept those shoes. Today I would like to fulfill my promise to Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj by presenting size 10 rubber paduka shoes to his dear disciples to bring back to Calcutta with them. Please come. Actually, for the ceremony, we can put them here. Just put them right there. So we could have kirtan. Would you like to lead the kirtan? Yes, you lead the kirtan. Sing your Gurudev Maharaj's pranam mantra also in the kirtan.
Stand.